a prayer before we start to see what the Lord might want to say to us this morning through his word. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to us this morning through your words. Show us new things, excite us about new dimensions of your word that we haven't yet seen. So come, Holy Spirit, we're ready to be challenged by you. We're open to you speaking to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So an interesting story in our reading today. We have a kind of miraculous conception. We have twin babies born with the Lord speaking a prophecy over them. We've got two brothers who are very different. One an outdoor kind of lad and one a homeboy. One who desires the birthright that he hasn't got. The other desiring a tasty stew that he hasn't got. And this story comes right after the death of Abraham. And here's someone who also encountered some kind of miraculous conception. And we see this back in chapter 17. I'll read from verse 15. And it says this. God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her." This is verse 16. It's on the screen. "I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. King of peoples will come from her." What a promise to get from God. And what's Abraham's response to God's promise? Well, we read this in verse 17. We read that he fell face down. He laughed and he said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? So God gives the promise. And the response of this great hero of faith that's commended elsewhere in the book of Hebrews, kind of chapter 11 and 12, he commended for his faith. His response is laughter and doubt. And this response of doubt and laughter is not a one-off. In the next chapter, we read of three visitors that come to Abraham and Sarah. And this time they tell Sarah what God told Abraham back in chapter 17. It seems that Abraham maybe hasn't told his wife that. It may be due to his own doubt or disbelief. But Sarah finds out. Sarah finds out this promise that the Lord has that she will have a son. And her response to God's promise? You've guessed it. Sarah laughed to herself, the Bible says, as she thought, will I bear a son of my old age? She says, "I'm worn out. My Lord is old. My husband's old. Will I now have this pleasure?" We've got the promise of miraculous pregnancy. And again, the response of laughter. And so thinking about this with our reading today, we don't necessarily have laughter. But what we do have after a miraculous pregnancy is human behaviour, again, that doesn't honour God. Rebecca couldn't conceive. The Lord hears her prayer. She can. But there's still behaviour that doesn't honour that faithfulness from God. It's not doubt, it's not laughter, but it's underhand trickery from Jacob, who, instead of just giving his hungry brother a bit of stew, because that's a nice thing to do, manipulates him out of his birthright. And later on in chapter 27, we read the ultimate deception as Jacob and Rebekah, his mum, deceives Isaac into giving the blessing that should have been Esau's to Jacob. So we've got three situations where God promises something miraculous and he faithfully carries out his promise. But in response, people aren't faithful. They doubt, they laugh, or they behave in a way which isn't faithful to him. And this is a pattern actually that's seen throughout the biblical narrative, the whole story of God's people of the Bible. We see Rachel in Genesis 30. And that is a complicated story. Have a read of that later on. With Jacob sleeping with all range of maidservants to try and create more offspring. But what we read in Genesis 30 verse 2, is that God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and enabled her to conceive and she became pregnant. Wow, God is good. And what's Rachel's response? Well, the very next chapter, Rachel runs away with Jacob and all their relatives, and she steals things to take with her. What does she steal? She steals the household gods. The idols, the pagan idols. What? Why would she want them? Why would she need them to be close to her? After she's seen the great I am, the God of the Bible, she's seen God be so good to her and faithful to her, she decides to take the pagan gods, the idols, the mute statues with her. Why? Maybe to sell them, maybe just to annoy Laban, who they belong to, or maybe she took them because they gave her comfort. Maybe she did worship them too and pray to them, hedge her bets, who knows? So despite God providing for her a child and being faithful to her, there's a sense that she isn't faithful to him in her behaviour, stealing, and of all things, stealing pagan idols. And there are other stories too. Samson's mother in Judges 13, Hannah in 1 Samuel, and we think of the conception of John the Baptist. Zechariah is struck dumb because of his response to God's faithfulness and God's promise. His response is to question. The, of course, immaculate, a conception of Jesus, more miraculous than in any other way because Mary was still a virgin. And her response to the Lord after a query about the kind of how is this going to happen, her response is to say, let it be to me as the Lord says. Let it be to me as the Lord says. So in all these situations, we have God promising something, a God promising a miraculous baby. And the response of human fallen kind, as so often, is to doubt, to laugh, to behave in a way that isn't good, to question, to enjoy the benefits and then ignore the responsibility maybe of behaving in the way that God expects us to. I wonder today, is there something that God has promised us that we doubt? Is there something that he has said to us maybe long ago that we've sneered at, that we've laughed at, that we've doubted? Are there times when even though God is faithful, we are not? And our behaviour isn't faithful to how he challenges us to live. If so, there's some good news this morning, because in all these stories, a pattern emerges. A pattern emerges that despite our unfaithfulness, God remains faithful. We read in 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, that if we are faithless, he remains faithful. And we see that here, don't we? God doesn't change his mind when Sarah laughed at him in Genesis 15. God doesn't say, oh, you know what? You laughed, you doubt, I'm not going to do it. In fact, back in Genesis 15, if you read that passage, if anything, God reaffirms Sarah. God reaffirms her. Despite her doubts, her misgivings, he reminds her, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for me? Sarah's been through a lot in her life, a lot of heartache, a lot of tears, a lot of tough times. The Bible scholar Gordon Wenham says this, that she laughed, Sarah laughed, not out of cocky arrogance, but because a life of long disappointment had taught her not to clutch at straws. Hopelessness, not pride, underlay her unbelief. Maybe that resonates with you this morning. Maybe like Sarah, you've had a life of disappointment. And maybe when God says something to you that's a promise, you don't laugh out of cocky arrogance, but it's more a heartache. And this morning, if you're struggling a bit with that sense of faith, remember that verse from 2 Timothy. God is still faithful. His love isn't dependent on how hard we believe. You know, faith is important. Of course it is. We read in Hebrews 11 verse 6 that without faith it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But we hold that verse in tension with a sentence two verses later that commends Sarah for her faith. A faith that we just found out is a faith that laughs, a faith that doubts, a faith that questions. You see, God is faithful. We see that throughout Scripture. These stories of barren women giving birth are symbolic of the suffering people of God, suffering Israel being brought into a place of joy. From a place of despair to a place of rejoicing. These real stories that happened of women conceiving miraculously remind us of the bigger narrative of the people of God going through tough times, times of despair, times of loneliness, times of suffering, and being gently brought into a place of rejoicing and provision. And the world is still suffering. We only need to turn on the news to see that. We are still suffering, the people of God, to some extent, maybe not to the greater extent that the other people in the world are, but we might be suffering from loneliness. We might be suffering from despair. When is this strange season of COVID-19 going to end? When are we going to be able to gather together safely? We might be suffering with that. But the good news for us, my friends, is that God is faithful despite our feelings, despite our laughter and our despair. God is faithful. His promises are yes and amen. Despite our faithfulness, he remains faithful. So we're going to have a moment of quiet. And I'm going to invite you in these next few minutes to bring to mind God's promises to us. These might be promises we've heard him say to us. There might be times in the past where God has promised something to you and you've forgotten it. Maybe you've had a prophetic word spoken over you and you've forgotten about it. Maybe there's a verse of scripture that's really special to you and over time you've lost the fire for that. Maybe there was a time when the fire of God was real for you and you really enjoyed the worship and it set you up for the week and now you're struggling. Remember, God is faithful even when we're not. And if there isn't something that comes to mind, in the next few minutes of quiet, I'm going to just read out some Bible verses, some promises that we might want to think about. So let's pray as we do that God will give us a gift of his faith and that instead of doubt or despair or laughter, we might embrace the joy that God offers. So let's do that in a moment of stillness, thinking about the promises God has given to us or that I might be reading out in a minute. If we confess our sin, he is faithful. He is just. He will forgive us our sin and he purifies us from unrighteousness. That's a promise from the Word of God for us this morning. The Lord your God goes with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. No temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he provides a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. And a final promise this morning. Jesus says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. Take heart. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Let's pray together. Lord, it is well with our soul. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that your promises are yes and amen. We thank you that you remain faithful even when we are faithless. We thank you for the records we have in Scripture of heroes of the faith. That's how they're recorded, who have a faith that also is unsure, that can despair, that can laugh, that is not sure. So Lord, when we might hear your promise and when we might laugh or when we might be not sure, would you give us a gift of faith that says yes, Lord? Thank you, Lord. And Lord, for those of us that might be really struggling this morning with doubt, help us remember there's no condemnation. Help us remember that faith as big as a mustard seed is what you ask us to have. So come, Lord, by your Spirit, help us to remember that you are faithful, even when we might not be. Amen. And so we come.